All right, morning. Nothing really new to report on the roster. Had a crisp workout this morning. I'll take a little bit of time this afternoon to kind of get re-energized. Players will come back this evening. We'll meet and we'll start to get ready for the New Orleans practices. They had the game last night, so we'll have an opportunity to take a look at that here throughout the course of the day. And we'll get ready to go for New Orleans starting tomorrow. Hopefully have a couple good days here and then get ready to play on Thursday night.
You will watch their game from last night as part of your preparation?
Right. Well, it'll be loaded onto the video system, and then once it's on the system, then we'll go through and just start to look at, you know, a few different things at this point. So,
what do you look at, for a preseason game?
Well, really, you can start to look at some of the new personnel maybe that they have on their team relative to what you saw last year during the regular season. We have that body of work and film from last year. All their games are on the system. So any changes that they've made, whether it's personnel-wise, may or may not be some things schematically with the new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, in there. So some of the things that he's doing relative to maybe what they did last year. So any film that you have is good information, and it just starts the process just to looking at their team, their personnel, what they're doing, et cetera.
Officials out there at practice today for the first time. What do you look to get out of having them out on the field?
But they're here to do a job, like players and coaches, they're here to do the job. So whatever job that they have to do, that's what they're here to do. So, I mean, they'll make the calls however they do it. We don't really worry about when the officials are here. So
more for them than really for you?
I mean, I think it's good for everybody, you know, just so maybe in practice if you're going through from a coaching perspective, you might not see something that happens, maybe a flinch or something like that. So the official is there to call the fouls, whatever they may be, that we encourage them to treat it as if it's a game situation, whether it's holding, hand placement, flinching, illegal contact. But, you know, that's one of the things, especially for defensive backs, or maybe you have some rookie defensive backs, have an understanding of the five-yard rule, how it's different relative to what it was in college. So there's always a benefit to having another set of eyes. And then you can talk about the rule. Here's what went wrong. Here's how we can change it. Here's how we can correct it and move forward.
That's the same, Nick, this year as it would be last year. I mean, because these
no
guys...
change. No change.
What kind of role has Chris Sims been playing for you guys, and what has he been able to add as a guy who is a very recent quarterback in the league, helping out in whatever players he's been working with?
Sure. Anytime somebody comes into our system, whether it's in scouting, whether it's in coaching, whether it's a player, I mean, they're basically starting from scratch. They're going to learn our system. We're going to teach them our system. And the way this place works is everybody gets a lot of exposure to a number of different areas. So from one day to the next, it could be one thing. The next day, it could be something else. So, we'll add him to the mix and give him some things to do and see if he can execute those tasks and see how it goes.
Nick, who was the guy working with the quarterbacks today?
Josh. I didn't say any. I mean, who else?
There was someone who was with them in the corner.
You guys probably got a better picture of that than I did. So I didn't see anything other than Josh. So maybe it was one of the equipment guys out there snapping. I don't know. But yeah, no, I didn't see anybody.
Nick, Bill would tell the story about Matt Light, how in his first year he tried him at right tackle, it didn't work out. And he sort of tells a lighthearted story. Ends up at left tackle. That's how smart I was.
Right.
relative to that, with Dan Copen, is he sort of similar to Light in that he's sort of a center? Because have you ever tried him at guard? Has there ever been a thought on that? The reason I ask is you guys look like you're juggling some things up there to try to make some combinations work.
Sure. Bill's talked about the Light example. I mean, really, since Dan's been in the program, he's basically played center since day one. When he came here, and he's been on the field at that position he plays that position well. So, we work a lot of guys at different spots. That's where Dan's comfort level is, and that's what he has the most experience doing. Could he bump over and play guard if necessary? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we had to put him in that situation, see how it goes. But he's been a good player at that center position for a long time.
Dion's been a little
limited. Stealing the show.
You notice how I paused, sort of waited, see if anyone wanted to jump in. Dion has seemingly been a little limited in recent practices, Dion Branch. Prior to that, how do you feel like he's been moving, running well still at this stage?
Yeah, Dion had a good off season. He was here and he worked hard. So everybody's at different stages this time of the year. The players that can go out there and practice are out there. Those that can't aren't. And it's really, I wouldn't say it's not too different than what it's like during the season. You know, some guys are ready to play, some guys aren't ready to play. And the NFL is about adjustment. So whatever you have, you coach the players that you have that are on the field. You don't coach another player any differently than you'd coach somebody that's been there for a long time. So that's the nature of the NFL, and it's about adjustment, and it's about change, and everybody has to handle it, and everybody has to deal with it. So that's what we'll do, and just take it day to day, which is the same thing we would do during the course of a week before a game.
Nick, how are you feeling about Logan on his progress? I mean, do you think you're going to have him for the season, or is he a candidate to start the season on PUP?
We'll see how it goes. He comes in, those guys that come in, they do their treatment every day, and then whenever they're ready, that's the trainers will let us know, and then we'll deal with it at that time.
Related to that, Dan Connolly obviously played a lot at center last year. We haven't seen him at center very much in this camp. Is there a certain point in time where he needs to, if he's going to fit play center during season, that he needs to go back and get some reps? Because, you know, right now he's pretty guard heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I must be watching different film. Dan's been in there quite a bit playing center. I mean, maybe it was earlier in camp, but he's been in there. Well, those guys, they rotate through, except for, I would say, for Copen. Those guys have rotated through on the interior at those inside spots. So.
We've heard Brandon Lloyd say that the chemistry between me and Tom is a work in progress. Have you seen growth in that they've, you know, starting to get more and more on the same page, and how has Brandon been since he got here?
Yeah, I mean, I think since Brandon's been here day one, he's done a great job. And any new player, whether it's a veteran or a rookie, they're all starting essentially from the same point. You know, it's new system to a degree. Even if you've played in this offense, you're really starting from the same spot. So he's come in, he's worked hard, he's done the things that we've asked him to do, and it takes time. I mean, that's why you go out there, you practice, you go watch the film, you have communication, you know, whether it's the receiver position, the tight end position, the running back position. Okay, here's what I saw. Here's the technique, the defender. Here's what you need to do on this route. So it's a matter of doing things over and over and over so that when you get into those game situations, each play, whether it's a quarterback and tight end or quarterback and receiver, they have an understanding and anticipation of what they're going to do in that particular situation. So it's hard to simulate every look that you're going to see in a game, but you know, you try to work at it as much as you can and make sure there's a constant dialogue back and forth.
Is Nate Soldier ahead of the curve of what you expected? Where did you project him 2 years out when you drafted him last year?
I mean, we thought Nate was a good football player when we drafted him, and he's come in and, you know, we had a decent first year. And the most important thing with any player is you're just trying to continue to improve on a day-to-day basis and become a more consistent player, whether it's your techniques, your fundamentals, whatever it may be. So our expectations are the same for any player that comes in here, drafted, undrafted, veteran, free agent. It doesn't really change.
When you're out at practice and you see guys go down, you know, offensive line this week has kind of been guys going down in motion. Are you already making calls, or does Bill contact you and say, we're going to need some alignment? How does that kind of process work?
Yeah, I mean, every day you're talking through personnel, whether it's your personnel, whether it's personnel that might be out there. And you just take it, you know, on an as-needed basis. You know, you only have so many roster spots available. So you're going to have 90 players that are on your roster at any point in time. So if you're going to bring somebody else in, then you're going to have to drop somebody else. So you're trying to balance off as a number of different dynamics. But like I said, I mean, it's all about you just adjust, and whoever the next guy is, then he goes in there and he tries to take advantage of his snaps, and it just creates more opportunity for somebody else that might not be able to get it if somebody else wasn't in there. So that's just part of the NFL. It's just the way it goes, and I wouldn't say there's any sort of panic or anything like that. You just take it as it comes and you deal with it.
When you're out there watching, what are you looking for? What are you watching?
Yeah, it's hard to watch sort of everything. You try to just watch both sides of the ball to a degree. You might have an idea based on a script where the play is going to go, what the player is supposed to do on each side of the ball, and you can see whether or not they're able to execute that. So you might see one thing on the field, but then you go back and watch the film and you see something else that you didn't see. So it's really more of a big picture and just really looking at the execution. And if you want to focus in on one particular player, you can do that. But the big thing, you try not to watch, okay, one play, this guy, you know, ball got thrown over his head for a touchdown. Okay, well, is it really, you know, is it his fault? Was the communication? I mean, so there's a number of things that you look at, but you're evaluating so many different things. You're evaluating scheme, you're evaluating execution, you're evaluating the personnel. So that's why we spend so much time. You practice, you watch the film, probably two or three times, you know, the same practice, and that's just part of the process.
As a personnel guy, are you watching from the perspective of these guys are struggling, I might have to go find an X or...
Yeah, I'd say this time of the year, you haven't really even got into any game situations, so you really don't get into that as much, I would say.
Nick, how much has the new CBA affected you in terms of replacing players that get hurt? Some that haven't been in camp, you have to wait 3 days so they can be in pads. I mean, has it kind of made things a little bit more...
Yeah, it really hadn't changed how we approach it. I mean, whatever the rules are in place, then we just comply with them and deal with them and move on. That's all we can do.
Two rookie free agents, Brandon Bolden and Justin Francis. Could you share, sort of when they were coming out, what you guys liked about them, and maybe to someone that might ask, you know, why did they slip out of the draft? You know, what might have been a consideration there?
Sure. I mean, there's cases like that every year. Players just sit there and say, well, how did Arian Foster not get drafted? I mean, there's multiple examples. Both of those players. You know, were productive players. Brandon was pretty productive at Ole Miss against good people. Had some injuries a little bit his senior year, but he was a productive player, big, strong, caught the ball well, you know, good runner. Justin was a pretty versatile player. They actually played him as a three technique. He actually played a little bit of one technique, kind of played inside defensive tackle, and then he played some on a perimeter as well on the end of the line of scrimmage. But disruptive player, played 100 miles an hour, nonstop motor. There's cases like that every year, and you just kind of scratch your head and say, well, how come he didn't get drafted? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just that's the way it goes sometimes. So you can find, you can find players just about anywhere, through the draft, any round, not drafted. I mean, that's the way personnel and scouting, that's the way it goes.
Nick, obviously when the Saints come in here, you're going to be able to get a lot of data on your entire team, but you have to be somewhat excited to kind of see how your secondary, where you have some new faces and interchangeable parts, how those guys stack up against Drew Brees and that passing offense.
Yeah, I think the Saints in general, it's a good football team. They won 14 games last year. I mean, play or two away from going to the NFC Championship game. But offensively, they're very balanced, diverse. They run the ball. Running backs are involved in the passing game. They're good in the screen game. They got a pretty good tight end. They got good receivers. And then defensively, they got a lot of disruptive players, you know, on their front seven. So I think it's really more from a team perspective. It's a good challenge for us to see kind of, you know, where we are at this point relative to another, I'd say, one of the better teams in the NFL. So it's exciting for all of us, you know, players, coaches, personnel, staff, because you get to see kind of a little bit of everything and just to kind of get a barometer as to where your team might be at this point.
You get a chance to see how your team stacks up with, you know, the Saints and the Bucks, but when those teams are coming in, how much do you and your staff look at, you know, maybe players on the end of their roster that you think might become available later on? You know, do you use that? Is that some sort of advantage knowing that you have seen them against the Patriots and you have some film on them?
Sure. We talked a little bit about this last week. Anytime you have an opportunity to evaluate some players really up close that you normally wouldn't get a chance to, you get to see their practice habits. You get to see them in the individual drill, maybe do something that they necessarily wouldn't, you can't see them do on the field. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity for everybody. And the reality is they're going to have players at the end of the month that they're going to get released, and some players may fit for us, some don't, but that's just part of the process that you have to go through. Like, you know, we'll go through it like every other, you know, scouting staff goes through.
See if they would fit, you know, by having gone up against them.
Well, you can just look at their, you can study the player a little bit more thoroughly and have maybe a better understanding, you know, like I said, their habits, their drills, their intensities, their effort, you know, which when you're watching them play in a preseason, you know, you can't really see how they practice. So I would say that's probably one of the benefits of doing something like this jointly.
Like a rules procedural thing?
Call the league.
I will do that.
They're a better resource than I am. So, all right, thanks.